Hello, I'm your host, Kathy Chester, and welcome to the Move It or Lose It podcast, a podcast about all things that move the mind, body, and soul. The Move It or Lose It podcast is for information, awareness, and inspirational purposes only. I am not a doctor, and I don't even play one on TV. So please consult with your doctor before making any medical decisions. The views expressed by advertisers, guests, or contributors are their opinions and not necessarily the views of the Move It or Lose It podcast. I can't nap. So how does that help you? I sleep at night.
Before Tyler. With the Tyler now, no, I don't nap. I don't get naps in. But before I could nap a little during the day if I wasn't like busy with some type of work project or something. I could, you know, nap during in between classes within the university, like Tuesday and Thursdays, I would get like a 2.5 hour break.
Really?
I could go home. I could go and take a nap, pop right back up, and then get back into the class. And then at nighttime, of course, it would be a little harder for me to get to sleep. But, you know, I could still go to sleep. And right. I would have some nights where if I did have a day, like a full day before, you know, our toddler, but a full day to where I could really just nap for hours. Right. And of course, I would be up a little bit more at night. But right now, I have no problem. I don't nap now. I don't get a chance to nap. But nighttime, haven't really noticed any difference lately. This is my hibernation time of the year. So I don't nap, but at nighttime, I am able to go ahead and just rest and sleep.
That's really good. I know I always feel like there's two of us, you know, where we have the insomnia, then we have the people that can really sleep, which is interesting. So back to what you're doing now. So what drew you to psychology in the first place? What was the draw for you?
So ultimately, it was more of the idea and the hope to try to help people. Took a psych course in high school. College, I majored in pre-med biology. I wanted to be an OBGYN. And so my first two semesters at this other university, my advisor kind of wasn't on it like she should have been.
Okay.
And I was like, if I'm on it a little bit more than you and you're supposed to be guiding me, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
So
good for you for recognizing and saying out.
Transferred out. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to major in psychology. And it got to a point to where I started to notice that, and friends would tell me, my husband, like, people would open up to me and talk to me about things without me even asking.
Really?
And so I was always felt like, you're just so easy to talk to. And I was like, okay, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, God basically has said, you need to go in this direction.
Right.
And, you know, the issue with the advisor, I was upset. I'm not going to lie. I was upset about it. And I was, because I was really just headstrong on being an OBGYN.
Right.
And then I was like, no, God was just redirecting me to where my calling is. And so got into it, of course, finished my bachelor's, went in for my master's right after, didn't take a break. My parents were like, you need to take a break. And I was like, no, I'm not taking a break. So I went right in and did internship and everything and got the training. Then something just stopped me. And I was like, no, like, I need a break. Like, I can't go into this because I need a break myself from this. So after my master's, maybe took like a 3-month break and jumped right into my doctorate.
Okay. Why not? I mean, 3 months, gosh, you were kind of lazy.
Yeah, I was lazy.
Please, so, you're so driven.
And so my parents were like, no, like, and my husband were like, no, you need to take like a 6-month break because it's been school back to back. I was like, no, I don't want to take this break because I feel like if I do, I won't get back into it right now.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think there's always the fear of that. You know, if we take too long of a break, it's like, I may not go back to that.
Yes. So I jumped right in. can't tell you how many times, whatever horror stories you've heard about a PhD, that's what it is. Because
I can't imagine at this point. I'll think about like, do I want to go back to school? I'm like, oh no. No.
and the sad part is I encourage everyone, including my clients, including my students. I have students that keep in touch with me that have taken me years ago. And I have a few that are in their doctorates right now. And I try to give them that encouragement, that motivation. But, you know, it was a fight and a struggle for me.
Yeah.
Because just as soon as I started it, by the end of my first semester, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Okay, so that's when you were.
That's when I was diagnosed.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "How am I going to make it through this? I get so frustrated now." Like,
but you did.
Yeah. It was a fight.
Kudos to you. I mean, what an awesome testimony. Just that.
Yeah, and I give God all the praise and glory for this.
So big.
It was a fight. It was a struggle. And especially to get everybody on board finally with knowing like this is a topic that needs to be heard.
Yeah.
And then once I, you know, graduated with my doctorate, and then that's when I was like, you know what? I'm gonna
just listen to yourself. Psychology. Bachelor's, master's, doctorate. I mean,
it was a struggle. But I made it through by the grace of God. It was by the grace of God all the way through.
Yeah, that's really amazing.
Yeah.
So then once you're going through, you're kind of then starting to get an idea of kind of where you want to be in this area, where you want to. So how did that kind of fine tune into kind of where you wanted to be in?
With clients and everything, therapy. So it was, and I told my supervisor, I'm like, I feel like this just fell in my lap some kind of way. It was like, it was just God just saying, this is where you should be at.
Yeah.
And so higher education, that's where I always thought I would be. Mm-hmm. And then I started to see some parts of higher education I didn't like. And then I was like, I got to figure this out. Like, I got to figure it out. There's no way I did all, you know, these years of school and I have got to figure this out. So I still continue to stay in the higher education area. It's just I'm on a part-time basis. And then once I made this, I applied for a postdoc into the therapy world. And mm-hmm. once I got into that postdoc with this company, it was kind of like, it just worked out. Like, it was, at first it was scary because I was like, I haven't done this in years with seeing clients, you know, with my master's program, but they had us do so many, over 1,000 or so hours and trying to get us our feet wet in it.
Uh-huh.
And I have friends that are in the field that were like, yeah, like, I think you should probably like go towards this. Hey, why don't you try it out part-time and see if you like it or not? And I kept saying, no, like, I don't think that's where I'm supposed to be. But actually, that's where I really am supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it my first year, second year now. And it's really just to a point to where I was like, why didn't I go straight into this? Like, this is amazing seeing people helping them and helping them improve and helping.
What's
them
your favorite part? Are you battling a chronic illness like multiple sclerosis and know it's time to add exercise program and movement to your body in order for you to have the best health and independence for you? I am so excited to announce the launch of my new program, Damn It, a disrupt, move, and transform program. For us autoimmune warriors with a trainer, me, who really gets it, you can participate in either virtual one-on-one training, virtual group training, or both. To find out more on how you or loved one can benefit from this training, email me, msdisrupted@gmail.com. Message me on Facebook or Instagram at msdisrupted. Look at the website, msdisrupted.com. Take a look. Can't wait to hear your feedback. Can't wait to see your face.
My favorite part is actually just goal setting.
Yeah.
I would say goal setting because I feel like a lot of people that I have, you know, come in contact with, you know, I can help and cope through with anxiety, with depression, help and cope through without, you know, race and identity issues and things like that. But it's just I want to make sure that you're taken care of and you're good in the future. So what do we need to do? Like, I can help you with coping skills, but I need to know that you're going to be taken care of and you're going to be strong enough in the future to take care of yourself. So what do I need to do to help you with prioritizing your goals, you know, whatever dreams you have? And then we have to wind them down on the list. And then we start to pinpoint and focus towards that. And then we start the work of prepping to get them ready for going into whatever field that is, applying for whatever job, even if it's something small as far as like a retail job. But I feel like that's still an accomplishment for that particular person. If, you know, not everyone wants to go into a full-blown college, you know, degree
or, amen,
you know, or it, everybody,
I think that's so important that you say that, because I think we've been, you know, so driven in the past that parents will force into a big college, you know, degree. And you've got to know your kids first off. You know, I had one that was like full into, he wanted to go to college. He wanted to get, and then my other two were not there. My daughter is, she was born to do hair. She was doing it on trampolines when she was 10. I was like, oh my gosh, what's she doing? But that was her talent. That was her gift. So for me to force her to go to, you know, a big college, it would have been ridiculous. Yeah. And you have to know that and not pressure them into, and I would say that probably for you, you know, I know enough about psychology to be dangerous, because as a pastor's wife, you know enough to, hopefully help them and then set them to a therapist that you know that you've got, you know, you have a list of therapists that you can send them to. So I would say that that was a big thing that I saw, where a lot of young adults, teenagers that were sent off to colleges that they didn't want to go to. They had an idea of a trade they wanted to do, but they were sent off to a college that they didn't want to do and things like that. So I really loved, and we'll talk about this when we do, because I know we've got to get off soon, but I loved that you work with a lot of the LGBT community. I love the mental health issues. And I think that during COVID and the lockdown, the shutdown, all that, that had to be something that was so, such a blessing that you could give back to them. Because I think that for all of us, we were going, you know, crazy, but for so many of our young adults and so many that were isolated, I think that that had to be an area that you saw so much pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually, you know, first starting off with it, it was actually like eye-opening to see and to hear some of the stories that I was hearing. And it gets to a point to where, okay, where can I pull in to try to help? So it's first, of course, always telling my clients, like, you're free to be whoever you want to be. You know, and also instilling in them, like, if you're not ready to openly come out, then you don't need to do it. Like, that's your secret to hold. That's your pride and joy. So don't have someone to where you feel like you're forced to be able to come out. And then another thing I tell all my clients, whether they're LGBTQ, I tell all my clients, you have one life to live.
Yeah.
One life. It's not like, and I say this and they look at me and they laugh, I'm like, you can't die and come back.
Right.
Like, you have one life. So it's up to you to figure out how you want to live this one life. So are you going to live this one life based off what someone else feel like, you know, you should be, who you should love or anything like that? Or are you going to live it to the fullest?
Right.
And be who you really want to be.
Exactly.
And be happy.
Yeah.
And so whatever the happiness means to you.
Right.
And so that's where we start to pick up. And then that's where it's like, okay, let's work. Let's get to work and let's get you to where you're comfortable. Including with clients that I've worked with that were going through transgender you know, surgeries and stuff, and having to make sure that they were mentally ready and prepared.
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, some things, especially within 2022, but I feel like it's opened doors, and I'm happy that it has opened doors to where people are kind of like opening their eyes more to know that not everyone has to do and say and be what, you know, what you want them to be. Let them be themselves and let them be free.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yeah, it's just a, and it's an amazing, amazing area to actually work in and to see how they blossom and grow and how, you know, how working together and making all of my clients, but making especially within the LGBTQ understanding, like, look, you didn't do anything wrong at all.
Right.
At all. So, but it's
amazing. I love that. And it is funny because I will tell my son and we joke and I'm like, you know, honey, mommy's getting old and I've got MS. And so I will forget the pronouns. I will forget some of them, but know my heart is in the right spot. I may get a letter wrong, but you know, and his friends are so fun with me and they're so great and they know my heart. And so I'm like, I'm trying so hard. And so they know that. I think that's the thing, is really just transparency and authenticity. Mm-hmm. And then I think that breaks it just takes so many of the doors. It just, when we're able to talk, have real conversations, then the offenses and all of that is gone because they know the love is there. And I think that's all we all want. Right.
And that's what matters most. And then you also have to give yourself some grace, right? Because you're learning.
Right.
You have to give yourself some grace. So,
you
know, like, don't be so hard on yourself, Kathy. Like, you're learning. But, you know, your son knows that the love is there.
So. Yeah, for sure. Well, I definitely want to talk more about the training that you're doing. And I want to talk more about the things that you've seen through COVID, through the pandemic, and some of the stuff that some of the topics that we wanted to talk about, and some of the counseling things that you're doing in the future. So we are going to have a part two. So we will come back to this, and I'm looking forward to it. I was so excited to be able to meet with you and to be able to have contact with you. And it was just I love when it's organic, and I've got in my heart, my mind that, you know, this is a subject I really want to go into, but it has to be the right fit. And so when I found you, I was like, boom, I knew I wanted you. So I was really, really excited to have found you.
Yeah, this has been a pleasure, though. I will be happy to come on for part two.
Thank you.
Whenever you want me to. It's totally fine.
Absolutely. We'll chat and get our part two. And okay. I for sure do this. So again, I'm so excited to have met you. And I hope that everybody really enjoyed this and look forward to part two. And we'll hear some more about what's on the horizon with you, where you're going with this, and some more of the counseling and how we get a hold of you. And if patients and want to meet with you on how we do that. And I've got your Twitter and stuff like that and your email. So I'll put that on the bottom of the show notes for this. And then we will, we can look forward to part two with you. So you go get that little guy. Is it your son that you got to pick up, right?
No, my 15-year-old.
Okay. All right.
15-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old little baby.
That's okay. Well, you go pick up. Yes, it does. So you go pick up that 15-year-old and then we will chat again soon. So I'm going to end this. Hold on for 1 second. Okay. All right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed meeting Dr. Scott. I hope you loved her as much as I did. And we'll look forward to part two where we dig in a little deeper. So again, as always, go ahead and rate the podcast and DM me, email if you've got some questions for our part two that you'd like to hear from Dr. Scott as well. And we'll add that to our podcast. Hi, is your company, business, school, nonprofit organization, or maybe your support group looking for a speaker to talk about what it's like to have an autoimmune disease, or maybe just to motivate and help inspire? Well, my name's Kathy Chester, and I'm the owner and maker of MS Disrupted and the program, Damn It, Disrupt, Move, and Transform. I have been doing motivational speaking for years, and I'd be happy to come and help with any of your things and issues that you need, whether it's motivational speaking at a company or at a school. So please feel free to email me at msdisrupted@gmail.com, or you can check out the website msdisrupted.com, or feel free to DM me at msdisrupted. Can't wait to hear from you. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Move It or Lose It podcast, where you can again find us wherever you like your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Join us on that. And we can't wait to see you again. We're going to have a lot of exciting guests and working together And as always, you'll hear us say at the end of every podcast, we are stronger together. So let's do it. Let's become stronger together. Have a great day.